This morning I asked the question, how well do you prioritize things in your life? How well do you put first things first? How well do you take that which is important and put it at the front of the line? Good morning and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you're here and I'm glad that we have a time to study the Word of God together. In other words, how well do you make choices and prioritize and put first things first? This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about the phrase, one thing. Individuals in the Word of God said one thing. One thing is important, and we want to take a look at that on our program. You know, our life is full of choices, and our culture and our society gives us a lot of choices. When you go to a restaurant, you've got a lot of choices. When you go to the gas station, you have different choices of gas. When you go to the store, you have all different choices of each product. We live in a country that provides a lot of choices, and we're used to that in life. It's hard to choose one thing. And when we're talking about a restaurant or a store, that may be fine if we don't choose one thing or even the right thing. But with regard to our relationship with God, it's extremely important that we learn to choose what is important. You know, there's an advantage to going to a specialist doctor who has chosen to focus on one aspect of the human body. There are doctors, there are physicians who are family doctors, they are general health doctors. I go to one like that. But if you have a particular heart problem, you need to go to a heart specialist. You need to go to an ear, nose, and throat specialist if you're having hearing problems. You go to a particular specialist when you need someone who will focus on one thing, a cancer specialist. So there's an advantage to going to someone who has prioritized a certain aspect of the human body and is focusing in on that. They are able to do a better job of treating that particular part of the body. They have focused in on that one thing. Well, in the same way, there's one thing that is important in life with regard to our relationship with God. And we're going to see that this phrase, one thing, is found a few times in Scripture, and there's some great lessons that go with that. One thing. One thing gives emphasis to one all-important choice in life. One thing gives emphasis to one all-important request, what we ask for, what is important to us. A particular detail in life, a particular priority in life, a particular truth, a particular action that we need to take, a particular future event that lies ahead, the second coming of Christ. So let's take some time this morning to look at this phrase. And if we don't have time to finish, then Lord willing, next week we will take a look at some more of these priorities. But I want to begin this morning in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. At the end of the book, verses 13 and 14, Solomon, the book of Ecclesiastes is really a book about life and all of the different kinds of things that we experience in life, life and death, life and work, injustices in life, blessings in life. He mentions marriage. There are all different kinds of experiences and different types of things that are discussed, what we can know and learn, what we see in life, what we experience. Employment, different kinds of things, different kinds of seasons, that we experience in life. And Solomon says at the end of it that it's all vanity without God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, this is the end of the matter. The matter, what matter? The matter of looking at life in general. The matter of examining one's life from birth till death. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. This is what life is all about, to fear God and keep His commandments. Why, Solomon? For God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Number one, fear God and keep His commandments. Number two, there's a coming judgment day, and we have to be right with God. The end of the matter, all has been heard. This is how it can all be summed up, being in a right relationship with God and being ready for the judgment day. So with that as a starting point, what are some Bible passages that demonstrate the importance of making priorities? Well, let's begin with Psalm 27 and verse 4, and let's talk a little bit about the priority of worship. The priority of worship. Psalm 27, verse 4. Friend, do you make a priority of assembling with other Christians to worship God on Sunday, for example? We can do that at other times. But the weekend, Sunday, for many people in Clarksville and around Tennessee, around the world, is a day of rest and relaxation and recreation. Go to the beach, go to the golf course, cut the yard, do other kinds of things, and I'm not going to go worship God. Notice what David wrote in Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing have I asked of Jehovah, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in His temple. One thing have I asked for, that will I seek after. Notice, first of all, the priority. One thing, I'm finding out what is important in my life, and then I'm going to seek after that. Notice the pursuit. Notice the energy that is spent going after that. It's not just simply saying something, but then following that up with activity to pursue and acquire that. What? That I may dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of Jehovah, and to inquire in His temple. Basically, we would say worship. Notice that David did not ask for, one thing I ask for is comfort. One thing I ask for is wealth. One thing I ask for is fame. If you ask a lot of people in Clarksville, what would be one thing that you would like to have, they would say more money. David didn't ask for those things. He realized that that's not what is important. David loved to be with the Lord and the Lord's people. David loved to learn about the Lord, to learn from the Lord, to worship the Lord. If you keep reading in verse 5, for in the day of trouble He will keep me secretly in His pavilion. In the covert of His tabernacle will He hide me. He will lift me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. I will offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto Jehovah. He realized that being there would help him make it through. In the psalm right before, Psalm 26 and verse 8, David also wrote, Jehovah, I love the habitation of Thy house and the place where Thy glory dwells. There are other psalms that we could read that have the same sentiment. But we basically have here, friends, a priority of worship. I want to encourage you to have that same priority. You will enjoy coming to worship God. If you haven't done that in a long time, at the beginning it's new and different. But for those of us who do it every week, it is a routine and it is a joy and it is something we look forward to. And we should have this attitude, I love to come together in God's house. Do we ask for that? Do we say one thing I have asked for? If you asked for one thing, what would it be? Do you know your answer and my answer actually reflects our character? It reflects who we are. When we get an opportunity to ask for one thing, it reflects our spiritual condition and what we're really thinking about, what's really important to us. Let that be a priority of worship. You could get up today, friend, and come worship with us. We would love to have you. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. There's time to come worship this morning. We meet again this evening at 6 p.m. We would love to have you. Come experience what it means to sing together, to study God's Word together, to pray together. We need that. We need that in the world that we live in today. There's a lot of discouragement. There's a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry, a lot of problems. And to be able to come to a place where we can focus on that which is good and encouraging and right and wholesome, it gives us a mental and emotional break from all of those things that are out in the world where we can just simply come together and enjoy worshiping God. We would love to have you come do that with us. One thing I have asked for, to be able to come into the Lord's house, what I might call the priority of worship. Friends, start making Sunday, just start with that, your priority day of worship. Get that in first. Put that in first. Let everything else be secondary and put God first. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10 and verse 20. Let's look at a second time where this statement is used. One thing. In Mark chapter 10, when Jesus met with the rich young ruler. Let's see what took place there. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. And as he, Jesus, was going forth into the way, there ran one to him and kneeled to him and asked him, Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, even God. You know the commandments. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor thy father and mother. And he said unto him, Teacher, all these things have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But his countenance fell at the saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. The rich young ruler, he had a great attitude. The text says that he ran to Jesus. He had a great question, probably the best question to ever ask. What shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? He even had good habits from his youth. He probably had a great set of parents that raised him to follow the Old Testament law of Moses. And you see some of the Ten Commandments that are listed here. And he said, from my youth up, That says a lot about his parents also. But when he asked, "What must I do?" and Jesus answered, "You need to do something. You've done some great things, but you need to do one more thing. One thing thou lackest." But that one thing was exceedingly important. "Go, sell, give, come, and follow." Notice those verbs. Go, sell, give, come, and follow me. Those are the things that he needed to do. The problem was, he was a rich young ruler. When you put all of the accounts together, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. And he didn't want to give up his material possessions. That shows you that you can be a great person in many areas of your life, but one area of your life, if you're not willing to sacrifice and give up, then what does all that other area matter? He didn't want to give up his riches. He was one that had great possessions, and he loved them more than Jesus. He wanted to hold on to them more than give them up. And so, he disobeyed. He didn't do it. He was sorrowful, and he walked away. He wasn't willing to prioritize his life. And so, the last one I called a priority of worship, I'm going to call this one a priority of salvation. This is what he could have done to inherit eternal life, to come and start following Jesus. He would have been saved, but he chose to walk away. One sin is one sin too many. If we sin, we are a transgressor of the law. James 2, verse 10. Just one thing in our life, friends, that is sinful and wrong can keep us out of heaven. One thing kept this man out of heaven. Are you, am I, ignoring the one thing that will keep us out of heaven? What a shame to be lost over one thing. Jesus loved him. Jesus loves all mankind, and that includes telling people the things that they need to do to change. Love, true love, will tell a person that they need to make a change, and that's something that has gone by the wayside today. People say that love today overlooks and ignores and condones wrongdoing, afraid to tell somebody something. Well, I love them too much. No, true love addresses the wrong or the necessity in a person's life. And Jesus loved him, and that's why he said to him what he did. But this man did not love Jesus or the truth in return. What he loved was his possessions. He had an idol in his heart, and it was his possessions. Paul talks about how that covetousness is idolatry, Colossians 3, verse 5. And so, we need to remember the priority of salvation, the one thing that we need to do. That one thing might be confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Repenting of our sins and being baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. The one thing might be obeying the gospel. The one thing might be coming back to Christ as an erring Christian. You've been out in the world and you need to come back. Focus in on that. That's more important right now than getting the car fixed. That's more important than getting the house fixed. That's more important than finding a job, your soul's salvation. Finding a job is important, but your soul's salvation is more important. It's a priority even over that. schooling, job, money, things, possessions. Our salvation is more important than all of that. When you hear what you need to do, don't just simply walk away with your head hung low, but make that change. Many, many people in the Bible made that change. Many, many people today make that change, and you can be one of them. Let me encourage you to do that. Let's look at one more this morning. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 10 and verse 42, let's look at what I'm going to call the priority of home life. Putting Jesus first in our home life. And it takes place when Jesus went into the home of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. Let's read verses 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and she came up to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But the Lord answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha was anxious and troubled. She was cumbered about. The Greek word there literally means distracted, concerned for many things with regard to preparing this meal and getting the house ready. And Martha wanted Mary to be like her. Martha wanted some help. And I understand that. I've been engaged in that type of situation before where you're trying to get things ready around the house for guests. And you're cleaning and you're fixing this and you're preparing that. I get that. But here's an opportunity where Jesus is in your home. And what he says and what he's doing is more important than getting the meal ready. The homemaker has an important role. In fact, in today's world, the homemaker, hospitality, things like that, are going by the wayside. Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman was a homemaker and hospitable. 1 Timothy 2:15, 1 Timothy 5:14, Titus 2:5. The mother taking care of the children and taking care of the home. Those are important things, and they're often being neglected today. But in this situation, even the good homemaker needs to prioritize her time and her choices. Even in the home, choices must be made when it comes to Jesus. And the homemaker must not become distracted from listening to Jesus. The statement in verse 39 says that Mary sat at the Lord's feet. This is an expression that was used in Bible times to talk about a student who was listening to a teacher. The teacher would stand up and students would sit around at their feet teaching them. And so Mary was learning from Jesus. And we need to see the importance of that in our home. You look at many homes today, if there is a mother and a father, there's a large percentage of individuals that are growing up in a single parent home or no parents at all. But whether it's both parents or a single parent, much of the home life today is spent on the secular. Many are not raising their children in the Lord's word. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them or bring them up in the chastening and admonition of the Lord, the way the Lord would want them to be raised, and that is based upon his word. in both the Old and New Testament, the Lord tells us how to raise our children, but we have to read that information and practice it in our life. There are a number of proverbs, for example, that help the parents on how to raise their children, but we have to read those things and practice those things. Today, people are just using worldly wisdom in the home, and there are problems in the home. There's problems with divorce. There's problems in marriages. Just prior to Ephesians chapter 6, Paul wrote in the last part of Ephesians chapter 5 about the wife loving the husband loving his wife and the wife showing respect toward her husband, and how the husband is to love the wife as Christ loved the church, and the wife being in subjection to him as the church's subjection to Christ, and the husband-wife relationship, the parent-child relationship, Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And then the verse that we read earlier, the husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship. But we've got to follow God's word. But today, it's about the secular. In the home, it's about TV, music, cell phones, computers, internet, sports, grades, education, work, things, buying stuff. Where's the Bible? Well, the Bible's absent in many homes. And many people are like Martha, and they're cumbered and distracted about things of this life, but they're not like Mary, who's willing to just sit and listen to Jesus. I would have loved to have heard that lesson that he was teaching. You need only one thing in life, friends, in the home, and that is the teaching of Jesus. And when I say one thing, I mean a priority. That is the one thing. That's the priority. Other things can follow and are fine. But the one thing is listening to Jesus. Do you really want that? We need a priority in our home life. And that is Jesus needs to be in our marriage. Jesus needs to be in our parenting and in every aspect of our life. Timothy had learned the scriptures from a babe. He had a mother and a grandmother that were faithful, and they taught him the scriptures, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. He had known them from a babe, and that's the attitude that we need to have in our home, that Jesus' words are going to be there. Friends, one thing, let me encourage you to prioritize your life out of all the things that you choose, and put God first in your worship, in your salvation, and in your home life. You can do it. There's a lot of choices out there, but you can choose the one thing that is important. And I hope that our lesson this morning has encouraged you to do that. And we hope that you'll have a good day.